time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitten Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan Sports Talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. We've got another episode of Mitten Madness coming your way. An hour long of what's happening inside of the state of Michigan, that Mitten State shape. Of course, nothing but sports. Michigan, Michigan State, tons to talk to, not only on the hardwood, but also over on the ice, as both these teams are still grinding in the Big Ten tournaments and preparing for the national tournaments. And we got to touch on bracketology, what that looks like for the entire NCAA March Madness scheme. And then we'll get into the Pistons and the Red Wings, as we always do, touching on what is happening inside of Little Caesars Arena. And then we'll end things out with our picks, like always. Last week was full of amazing sports action that we have to touch on. And then this week, super excited for more amazing sports action. I'm doing great. Things are on the up and up here. Lacrosse is in full swing. Had my first week of practice already in the books. And honestly, it's starting off far better than I thought it would. After losing 10 seniors out of 14 total guys, we're back up to 16 guys on the team, and they are off and running. So I'm feeling great about that. The Michigan Wolverines have me feeling great on both the ice rink and on the hardwood. The Pistons are doing what Pistons do, and the Red Wings continuing to make me proud and pushing for that playoff spot. So I'm feeling great as a sports fan here in the state of Michigan. Hopefully you are feeling the same. But now that we've gotten through the obligatory, it's time to talk about what has happened over the last week. Michigan had a couple of tough games that they had to factor on the basketball court, which is where we'll start. They did take down Iowa 71-68 in an extremely tough game that we talked about last week, because that was last Thursday on the 5th. But, you know, they were able to come out with a 71-68 victory, which led them right into the biggest matchup of the week. Michigan State Spartans, that rivalry game was coming back into action Sunday to end out regular season play for both of these teams. The eighth best team in the country, Michigan State Spartans, ended up losing this game by 10 to the number three ranked Michigan Wolverines. And this was a phenomenal game from beginning to end for both sides. Jackson Kohler led the attack for the Spartans. 23 points on 10 of 13 shooting. Only one free throw that he cashed in on. He grabbed 8 rebounds as well. Jeremy Fears Jr. does what Jeremy Fears Jr. does. Not only does he pick up technical fouls, which we'll touch on in just a moment, he had 9 assists in this game with just 3 turnovers and 37 minutes of play. Spartans shoot 45, 33, 80 in their splits. They only had 7 turnovers, grabbed 32 rebounds, led for 19% of this game, and 5 was their largest lead. On the flip side, Yaxel Landenborg absolutely dominated and took over this game, having his fingerprints all over it. Landenborg goes for 27 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He also had 3 assists, no turnovers, and 38 minutes of play. You had Merez Johnson grab 7 rebounds. Michigan shoots 49, 45, 90 in their splits, only missing 3 free throws after getting to the line for 29 opportunities. That is how you win a basketball game. Only 10 turnovers. They grabbed 35 rebounds, led for 70% of this game, and their largest lead was 11, as this game was at the Chrysler Center. It was senior night for many of the seniors, including not Namari Burnett. Yaxel Landenborg and several others. We know Will Shetter. This team is put together with amazing talent, and they've continued to prove it game in and game out. And even though there was some antics that took over in this game, like Ade Mara picking up a technical foul for pushing Carson Cooper out of the air, he also picked up a flagrant 1 foul for grabbing Jeremy Fears Jr. when he was on his way for a steal and a layup on the other end. But that doesn't negate the fact that Jeremy Fears Jr. was pushed from behind when Elliot Cadeau went to reach for the ball, and then he flung his leg up backwards, hit Cadeau in the groin, and as we know what that means, a technical foul came, and there was a lot of chirping back and forth between the two sides. Obviously, Tom Izzo feels like it's one-sided, but I say maybe you do a better job of really getting on your guy and cleaning up the act so that it doesn't look like this has to happen, and he doesn't have to find himself in these situations because you know that referees are looking for it. Now that it's happened multiple times, referees are going to be on the lookout for it, so he has to clean that up if they want to have success moving forward, because if he's in foul trouble, this team is completely different without him on the floor, and they're not going to be able to sustain the high level of play that they've had this season in the March Madness tournament if he's not on the floor. So he has to clean that up ASAP. Michigan is going into the Big Ten tournament feeling great about themselves as the overall number one seed. They won the conference by 4 games. Their leaders, Yaxel Lannenborg, 14.7 points per game, shooting 50% from the field. Also has 1.2 steals with just 1.1 turnovers in 29.8 minutes of play. Elliott Cadeau, 9.9 points, 5.5 assists, only 2.4 turnovers in his time. You also have Merez Johnson, who's scoring 13.7 points per game, shooting 64.3% from the field with 7.4 rebounds in 24.8 minutes of play. And then you have Ade Mara, Big Ten player, defensive player of the year, 2.6 blocks, 0.3 steals, 6.9 rebounds on the year. Yaxel Lannenborg named Big Ten player of the year. Dusty May named Big Ten Coach of the Year by the media. The coaches gave that award to Fred Hoiberg, who has done a phenomenal job with Nebraska on the back end as well. So Michigan, their first game of the Big Ten tournament is against Ohio State. That is going on now as I'm recording this, so we'll find out. Or you already know what happened in that game. I will find out on the back end. Michigan State, on the other hand, as we know, they did take down Rutgers in what was a close game in their senior night before losing to Michigan, like we just talked about. Their first game of the Big Ten tournament is later on Friday night that you guys obviously know the outcome of against UCLA. So we'll find out if Michigan State is going to move on. Their leaders, Jeremy Fears Jr., 15.5 points per game, 9.1 assists, just 2.2 turnovers, shooting 44.3% from the field, and also has 1.3 steals and 32 minutes of play. Jackson Kohler has 9.1 rebounds, and you have Carson Cooper, one block with 0.6 steals and 7.1 rebounds. As a team, they score 78.8 points per game, good for 125th in the country. Rebounds, 40 per game, good for 34th in the country. 18.3 assists, good for 21st in the country. They only give up 67.8 points for Michigan. They score 88.4 points per game, which is 10th in the country. They grab 40.4 rebounds, good for 26th. They assist on 18.8 times per game, 15th in the country. They only give up 69.1 points per game. They've been doing a phenomenal job of continuing to play the best teams in the country and having success there. Now that we know where these two teams stand, let's talk about bracketology. Looking at the entire country overall, as of right now, the top overall seed in the March Madness tournament is Duke. The last team in as of right now is SMU. The first team out is Oklahoma. Looking at some of the brackets, we'll point out where the Big Ten teams are in this bracket to start. Michigan is in the Midwest Chicago division. They will play one of the two teams that has to have a first four game. So right now, Idaho is locked in as they have already won their tournament. Howard is expected to win theirs, and that would be the play-in game there. And the winner would have the honor of playing Michigan in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Iowa also in this bracket. They're the 9 seed taking on Utah State. So the winner of that game will get the winner of the Michigan and 16 seed game. So we could see another Big Ten matchup very early on in the tournament. Purdue is coming in the 4 seed in the East region. Illinois is also coming in as the 3 seed in that same region. Wisconsin comes in as the 6 seed in the Midwest region. And that's all for those two regions there. You have Ohio State coming as the 8 seed in the South region. UCLA is the 8 seed in the West region. Nebraska's the 3 seed in that South region. Michigan State's the 2 seed in the West region as well. So those are some teams that are expected to get in. Looking at the last 4 byes, the teams who will skip out on the first 4 round, NC State, Santa Clara, UCF, and Miami, Ohio. Last 4 in are VCU, Missouri, SMU, and Texas. First 4 out, Oklahoma, Auburn, Indiana, and New Mexico. The next 4 out, San Diego State, Stanford, Cincinnati, and Seton Hall. The Big Ten has 9 total teams. 9 total teams in the bracket as of right now. That's Michigan, Iowa, Purdue, Illinois, Ohio State, UCLA, Michigan State, Nebraska, and I'm missing one more that's somewhere around there. But yeah, they're doing a phenomenal job of getting teams into the tourney. And Wisconsin was the last team that I was missing there. So 9 total teams so far, leading all conferences. The SEC has 10 for multi-bids. ACC getting in 8, Big 12 getting in 8 as well. Those 4 leading the country. The West Coast Conference currently has 3. The Big East also has 3. And then you have the A-10 and the MAC with 2 apiece. So we'll find out how all of that shakes down and who these teams will be playing over the next couple of weeks. But, I mean, so far, Michigan has a great path. I think the one team they have to worry about in this conference or in this region of the bracket is UConn. They're 2 seed. But as of right now, I think they have one of the easier paths. Duke also really only has to worry about Illinois, Iowa State, maybe Purdue. But we know that Purdue likes to lose early. Purdue does not make it far in a lot of NCAA tournaments. I believe the farthest they've ever made it is an Elite Eight. I know for sure that they have not won a national championship anytime soon. Are they going to be able to get over that hump? We are not sure. So we're going to have to find out over the next couple of weeks. But there are multiple chances for Big Ten teams to play each other within the March Madness bracket. So those brackets are going to be insane because, newsflash, we have no clue how these games are going to turn out. That's the best part about March Madness is it all depends on what team shows up for 40 minutes that day. It doesn't matter anything else that has happened in the season. It is all about the 40 minutes that is happening right in front of you. Michigan does a great job of showing up in those 40 minutes. Also, I want to talk a little bit about where Michigan State is in this bracket. They have Arizona, arguably a team that was the best team in the country. They were number 1 for a very long time. They've had some slip-ups, but in the best conference in the country, in my opinion, the Big 12 is the best conference in the country right now. You can argue with anybody you want to, but when you look at how well that entire conference is playing, they're the best. And to me, they should be the conference with 10 teams in, not the SEC. I think the Big 12 should have 10 teams in. The SEC should maybe have 8 or 7, and then we go from there. But, I mean, this bracket, Michigan State would play Queens as of right now. Then they would get the winner of Villanova and NC State before moving on into the Sweet 16 where things could get a little more difficult for them. But we also know that Michigan State shows up. They know how to get to that second weekend. They know how to play in the Sweet 16, get to the Elite Eight, and then anything can happen from there. They were just in the Final Four. They were just in the Final Four. They just couldn't get it done, right? They were in the Elite Eight last year, lost to Auburn, and was right there before getting in the Final Four. So let's not act like Michigan State can't do it. That's what we have for college basketball right now. We will pivot over to the Pistons and the Red Wings when we come back from the break here with more Mid-Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking, but no, my friend. I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the Detroit Pistons, who are playing inside of Little Caesars Arena. I mean, quite the time happening for them over the last week. Obviously, we'll start where we always start, with the standings, that they are still atop of the Eastern Conference, 4.5 games above the Boston Celtics at 47-18. The Celtics are 43-23. The Knicks, 6 games back at 42-25. The Cavaliers are 40-26, 7.5 games behind the Pistons. Both 10 games back are the Magic and the Heat. The Magic are 37-28. The Heat are 38-29. Those are your top six, who are firmly in the Eastern Conference playoffs as of now. The Raptors are 36-29, 11 games back. 12.5 games back are both the Hawks and 76ers, who are both 35-31. And then you have the Hornets, 14 games back, 34-33. Those are your 7-10 in your play-in teams in the Eastern Conference. Looking at the entire league overall, the Pistons are now sitting in third place behind the Spurs, who are 3.5 games back behind the Thunder. The Thunder are 52-15, leading the entire NBA. Spurs closely behind, 3.5 games back. And then our Pistons are sitting 4 games back from the Thunder at 47-18. Team leaders, Cade Cunningham still doing Cade Cunningham things. Double-double for the man, 24.8 points per game, 10 assists, which is 3.8 turnovers, shooting 45.9% from the field in 34.9 minutes of play. Jalen Duren grabs 18.5 points per game, grabs 10.5 rebounds, shoots 63.4% from the field in 27.6 minutes of play. Asar Thompson, 1.9 steals, 1.4 turnovers, 25.6 minutes of play. And Isaiah Stewart, 1.6 blocks, 0.3 steals, and 5.1 rebounds. LeVert and Thompson are still out, which is factored into how the games have been played for the Pistons recently, which we'll get into in just a moment. 117.2 points per game is how much the Pistons are scoring. They're grabbing 45.8 rebounds per game and assisting 26.8 times per game. In the last week or so, it's been quite the time for the Pistons. If you're a Pistons fan, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They have struggled over the last week. They dropped the first game against Brooklyn 107-105 last Saturday, which I don't believe any of us saw coming. Tobias Harris, leading scorer with 18. Jalen Duren had 14 rebounds. Dennis Jenkins, 9 assists. So he definitely did his thing there in helping the team try and get the ball moving and finish. But, I mean, if you lose by 2 to the Nets, you have some problems. And then they turn around the very next day, and they lost to the Heat 121-110. Cunningham had 26-10. Ron Holland grabbed 7 boards. But at the end of the day, it just was not enough in this game. I mean, it wasn't a Bam Adebayo legacy game by any means. You know, we saw that happen not too long ago. He dropped 83 points. Congratulations to Bam Adebayo, by the way, for becoming the second on that list of most points in the game. He has 83. Kobe had 81. Wilt had 100. He's right dab smack in the middle of those two. That's great company to be amongst. Looking at that Miami Heat game, Cunningham, like I said, at 26-10. He shot 9 of 18, 2 for 2 from the field. Holland had 7 rebounds. The Pistons themselves shot 44-30-79 in their splits, had 12 turnovers, 39 rebounds, led for 1% of the game. Their largest lead was 2, which I'm guessing was right at the beginning of the game, and it was. And ever since then, the Heat did not look back. They had the lead for the entire game from that point forward. So that just was not a good game for the Pistons in the Kasaya Center down in Miami, Florida. That gives Miami a 2-1 series win over the Pistons this year. The Pistons won the first game 138-135, and then the Heat bounced back 118-112, and then wins the tiebreaker 121 110. Those rubber matches are important, and Miami was able to get a hold of that one. Speaking of rubber matches, the Pistons were able to get back at Brooklyn real quick. Real quick. They came back out on the 10th, which was Tuesday night, and they gave the Nets the whooping they should have given them earlier on. 138 to 100. Jalen Duren popped off, goes for 26, shooting 9 of 10, 8 from 10 from the free throw line. Isaiah Stewart grabbed 8 rebounds, 15 assists, and just 2 turnovers in 26 minutes of play for Cade Cunningham. Pistons shoot 56, 52, and 76 in their splits. 9 turnovers, 40 rebounds. They led it for 99% of this game. Their largest lead was 43. So no real pressure there. Pistons win this series 3-1. Really one that they should have swept if they would have been able to win just the other night. They won the first game 125-107. The second game 130-77. Dropped the third game 107-105. And then bounced back and finished things off 138-100. This one was in the Barclays Center. So they went on the road and took care of business. And that got them right back in the winning ways, which they needed after a 4-game losing streak to Cleveland, San Antonio, Brooklyn, and Miami. They then bounced back, beat Brooklyn, and then they went on to play Philadelphia Thursday night. And they won this game 131-109. Seemed to be back in that mode. Right, Duncan Robinson, 7 of 10 from the field, 19 points to lead the squad. 10 rebounds for Jalen Duren. Cade Cunningham, 13 assists, just 4 turnovers in 28 minutes of play. Pistons shoot 54, 40, 95. 95, that's huge. 95% from the free throw line. As we just heard, they were shooting in the 50s and the 60s. That's not where you want to be from the free throw line if you want to win an NBA championship. You have to be able to make free throws, and you have to be able to keep your turnovers at a minimum. 17 turnovers is gigantic. These are the things that are keeping the Pistons from being the best that they could possibly be. When they were playing at a high level before the All-Star break, it was because they were shooting well from the field in general and from the free throw line, and they were limiting their turnovers. They were grabbing rebounds and ending defensive possessions after just one shot. These are all things that you have to continue to do if you want to have success in the NBA. These are all things you have to continue to do if you want to have success in the NBA playoffs. So we'll see if the Pistons can keep that up. They led for 99% of this game as well. They grabbed 40 rebounds, and their largest lead was 35. This was a home game at Little Caesars Arena. So now that they're in winning ways, can they keep those winning ways going? They had a game last night, as you all know, against the Memphis Grizzlies, and then they're on the road Sunday night against Toronto. This is a matchup that they have fared well so far in the season, 113-95, in their only matchup a couple of days ago on the 11th of February, and then they have Sunday, and then they will play again on the 31st. At 8 p.m. At the end of this month. This one will be at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario. The Raptors right now have Scottie Barnes as the game-time decision with an illness. Colin Murray-Boyle's also game-time decision with thumb. Chucky Hepburn is out. The Pistons dealing with injuries of their own. Game-time decisions for both Caris LeVert, Sir Thompson, Tobias Harris, and Jalen Duren, who are all facing wrist, ankle, hip, and knee injuries, respectively. But yeah, in the last five, the Pistons obviously won their first two, lost those last three. The Raptors are 1-4. They have a lone win against the Mavericks, but they have losses to the Pelicans, the Rockets, the Timberwolves, and the Knicks as well. Following up that game, the Pistons will take on the Wizards in back-to-back road games. They will play the Wizards on Tuesday, March 17th. And then they will also play them again Thursday, March 19th. And then they have a big matchup Friday at home as they come back home for a home stint against the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors only have a 27.3% chance to win that game at this moment, 72.7% chance for the Pistons. Pistons are 24-8 at home. They play well. They have already won one game against Golden State, 131-124. That was back on January 30th. This will be their second game against them, a chance for them to sweep. Stephen Curry's out with a knee injury until at least March 23rd. So he will not be available for this game. Moses Moody's out with a wrist injury until at least the 15th. So we'll see if he's able to go. Jimmy Butler's out for the season with a knee injury. And that explains why the Golden State Warriors have been struggling so much in this season and why they haven't been able to win a ton of games. Golden State Warriors are 32-33, 13-19 on the road. I don't remember the last time the Warriors were below 500 this late in the season. So it really looks like the Pistons have a chance to start a win streak. Can you go out and beat Memphis on Friday night? As I mentioned, you guys already know how that is. They're 23-42, 11-21 on the road. And without Jaren Jackson, who they traded away, this should be a very winnable game for the Pistons, which already puts you at 3 headed into the weekend. Then you have the Raptors and then 2 games against Washington, which you did, I believe, drop a game to Washington earlier in the season. I'm going to check that just to be 100%. They did. So they beat Washington the first time back on November 10th, 137-135 in OT, and then they lost 126-117 just back on February 5th. So this is a great chance to get back-to-back and take this series 3-1, but these are not easy games by any means. And then you have Golden State. So those are 5 very winnable games within the next week. You take down those games, you win those games, you're feeling great about yourself. You're pushing up on San Antonio and Oklahoma City, forcing them to play better, forcing them to continue playing on a high level, or you'll regain that top spot in the entire Eastern Conference or in the entire NBA as you continue to dominate the Eastern Conference. The Pistons are on the right track. But as I mentioned before, they have to shoot the ball at a great clip, and they have to rebound the ball well, play great defense, and limit the turnovers, or these teams will catch up to them, or these teams will give them a hassle in the playoffs, or these teams will beat them in the playoffs, because it is hard to win an NBA championship. You have to go out and win 16 games against 4 different opponents in order to win an NBA championship. And if you can't shoot free throws well, if you turn the ball over a bunch, if you can't grab defensive rebounds, it is almost impossible. That's what we have on the Pistons. We're going to touch in on our Red Wings after the break with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tick.
Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about the other team that calls Little Caesars Arena home, the Detroit Red Wings. Let's lay down the ice and touch in with our residential hockey team. Taking a peek at the standings first, the Red Wings have fallen a little bit in the Eastern Conference. The Buffalo Sabres have come out of nowhere. They now lead at the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division more specifically, 40-20-6 for 86 points. The Lightning right behind them, 84 points with 40-20-4. Montreal Canadiens are 36-18-10. For 82 points, and then there go your Red Wings, 36-23-7 for 79 points. In the Eastern Conference overall, the Red Wings are down to the 7th spot. Hurricanes have 88 points to lead the conference, 41-18-6. Then the Sabres and Lightning Canadiens. Then you have the Penguins, 32-18-15 for 79 points, also tied with the Red Wings are the Islanders, who are 37-23-5 for 79 points. In the league overall, the Red Wings are down to 10th as they're tied with the Penguins and Islanders, really all for 7th. But then you have the Hurricanes and Wild tied with 88 points. Avalanche continue to lead the entire NHL with 97 points. Dallas Stars up to 92. And then you have the Sabres and Lightning with 86 and 84, respectively. Right now, the Red Wings are holding that top wild card spot since they have dropped out of the top three in the Atlantic Division. They are a point above the Boston Bruins, who have 78 points. Columbus Blue Jackets have 77. So a tight race in the wild card. And as Red Wings fans, we would love to see them win a couple of games here, boost themselves back into that top three within the Atlantic Division, and have a firm playoff spot, not one that involves wild card and a lot of extraness to go down. So that's what we'll be looking at over the next couple of weeks. Touching in with the leaders for the Red Wings, DeBrincat has 33 goals, 12 on the power play on 226 shots. He also leads the team in points as he has 32 assists to go with his 33 goals for 65 points on the year. Lucas Raymond leads the team with assists. He has 45. 18 of them are on the power play, and he has 11 for a plus minus. John Gibson continues to do John Gibson things, only giving up 2.57 goals per game on 105, or giving up 105 goals, a save percentage of 9.06. That's after seeing 1,114 shots and saving 1,009 of them. He has 24 wins on the year. The team scores 2.89 goals per game, which is just under the 2.96 that they give up per game, which is good for 11th in the entire league. The power play, 22.2%, good for 13th in the NHL. And then the penalty kill sitting at 78.5%, good for 19th. Checking on their schedule and what has went down over the last week. Last week, they dropped a game to Florida 3-1 on Friday. And then Sunday, they were able to go out and take care of business against the Devils 3-0, where they got a goal and two assists from Moritz Seider. They got a goal and assist from James Van Riemsdyk. They got two assists from Patrick Kane, all on 30 shots. They also got one from Dominic Schein. Those assists were from Van Riemsdyk and Seider. Patrick Kane also got an assist in this game. He got two assists in this game, excuse me. As I mentioned just a moment ago, Andrew Kopp got an assist as well. They only won 46.4% of the faceoffs. They had 17 hits and only 6 penalty minutes. So staying out of the penalty box was huge for them in this game. They even the series up with the Devils. Devils won the first one 4-3 back in November. Wings won this one big, 3-0. And then they will play that rubber match 4-11 in game 3 of the in-season series. And then the losing streak started back up because they had to go back on the road to play Florida again. They dropped this one 4-3, and then they played Thursday night against Tampa, and they lost that one 4-1. The Wings really struggling to put it together over the next couple, or over these past couple of games. They have a huge game later tonight against the Dallas Stars, who, as we mentioned, are in the top of the league, just second in the league with 94 points. The Wings did beat the Stars back in OT on December 23rd, 4-3. That was a game that saw the Wings have a lot of success. Dylan Larkin, 2 goals. James Van Riemsdyk, a goal and assist. They won majority of the faceoff. They had 10 penalty minutes in that game, though. So that's something that they'll have to keep in mind. But Dylan Larkin was the ultimate savior, pouring in a goal with 34 seconds into overtime from Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond. So that was the 4-3 victory for the Red Wings there. They'll try and sweep that season series against the Stars when they play this weekend. That is somewhat of an uphill battle, as we know how good the Stars have played of recent, but that doesn't mean that the Red Wings can't go out there and make it happen. Then they'll play Calgary on Monday. The Flames having a little bit of trouble this year, 26-32-7 on the season. The Wings did beat the Flames back on December 10th, 4-3. Another extremely close game for the Wings. A chance for them to once again go out and sweep another team, especially one that's only scoring 2.48 goals per game and giving up 3.09 goals per game. The Flames in their last five are 2-3. Wins over the Devils and the Hurricanes, but losses to the Rangers, the Capitals, and the Senators. Meanwhile, as we know with the Wings, they're 1-4. Two losses to Florida, a loss to the Vegas Golden Knights in overtime, and then the slacking by Tampa Bay just Thursday night. So the Wings will look to try and bounce back and hopefully get on a little bit of a win streak here. They will then play Montreal next Thursday to close out their week. Montreal coming in 36-18-10, just slightly above the Red Wings, but also this series is tied 1-1, both teams winning blowout games. Canadiens 5-1 back on October 9th. And then you have the Red Wings winning back on December 10th, 4-0. So a chance for one of these teams to walk away with a series win. Both these teams facing some injuries and having some trouble over the last couple of weeks as the Canadiens have started to flip it around. They're 3-2 in their last five. They have a 6-5 loss to in a shootout to the Anaheim Ducks. They also have a 7-5 loss to San Jose Sharks. Both of those were on the road before beating the LA Kings 4-3. So they had some trouble in LA, but they also were able to have some success in LA before coming back home to win against Toronto 3-1, and then they won on the road at Ottawa 3-2. So Montreal's absolutely cruising right now, playing some of their best hockey in the best time of the year to be doing so, March into April, because once April ends, you're getting into May and June, which is all playoff hockey, which the Canadiens have a firm spot in the playoffs as of right now. This basically is the game for the third seed in the Atlantic Division. If the Red Wings can go out and win this game, they should be the third seed at the moment. Maybe it gives them some momentum to stay ahead of Montreal. But the problem is Montreal scores 3.53 goals per game, even though they give up 3.23. If you're going to give up a lot, you have to score a lot. And they're doing a great job of that. So the Red Wings have their work cut out for them over the next week. It isn't like these games aren't winnable, but they're not easy games. By far, I think Calgary is the easiest game for them in the weekend. Dallas is going to be the hardest, but then Montreal is the most important. So you have three extremely key and important games for the Red Wings that could give them a boost into the next couple of weeks and into April, or could really put a damper on how their season has been and make it much more difficult for them to get into the playoffs as they're still fighting in that wild card space. But that's all we have to talk about on the Red Wings for now. When we come back from the break, we're getting into the picks. Had a crazy weekend last week. We're going to look to follow that up and do even better. When we come back from the break with more Mid Madness here on 95.3. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into the best part and my favorite part of the show, the picks. Now, last week was a week for your boy, which I'll get into in just a second. Don't forget that you can play right along with the picks every single week using the chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app. All you have to do is listen to the games that we're picking for the week. Listen to me do my research, my deliberation, and talk about how I know ball oh so well, and we'll figure it out and know all of the right things to pick. And then you get to do it yourself. You get to go back and do your own research. Get to do your own deliberation. You can compare it with the things that I have because, newsflash, I'm not always right. If y'all didn't know, I know I like to brag a lot, but that doesn't mean I'm always right. Then you can make your own decisions on who you think will win these games and why they will win these games or matches or, you know, combat, whatever it may be at the moment. And then you submit them into the chat feature on the 95.3 The Ticket app. And then we'll see if you know ball any better than I do. Don't forget, Jacob was here for a long time. Jacob never beat me. We played three rounds of picks between me and Jacob. Jacob went 0-2-1. Which means I went 2-0-1. I won twice, lost none, and tied one time. So I'm happy with everything that happens when it comes to picks over here. Are you as good as Jacob, or are you better than Jacob? Are you better than me? There's only one way to find out. Make sure to take advantage of that chat feature on the 95.3 The Ticket app and play right along with our picks. Speaking of last week and how good I might be, I went 5-1 last week. Your boy put in good work to bump that record back up. We know that I was below 500 coming into last week, so I needed a big week to feel great about myself, and that is exactly what I got. I ended up going 5-1 last week, coming in 8-10 on the week. I went 5-1 last week. Duke took down UNC. Tennessee lost to Vandy, so there goes that one loss. Michigan beat Michigan State. The Celtics took down the Cavs. The Spurs over the Rockets, and Oliveira handled Holloway inside of the octagon, which gave me a 5-1 week. You add that to 8-10, that bumps me up to 13-11. Two games above 500 makes me feel a lot better than two games below 500. And now we're stepping into a fresh week of picks, getting things started on the NBA hardwood. The Denver Nuggets are 41-26 on the year. They're 23-13 on the road. They're traveling to take on the Los Angeles Lakers, who are 41-25, 22-12 at home. This game will be later today, 8:30 p.m. on ABC if you would like to watch. They're giving the Nuggets a 52.5% chance, a 47.5% chance for the Lakers. Looking at why that might be, Aaron Gordon, a game-time decision with a hamstring. Peyton Watson's out with a hamstring. Marcus Smart, a game-time decision with a hip injury, along with Jackson Hayes with a back injury. Maxi Kleber out with a back injury for the Lakers. Lakers won the first game of this series back on January 20th, 115-107. Then the Nuggets bounced back earlier this month, March 5th, and won 121-113. Here's the rubber match to see which one of these teams will come out victorious. I mean, these are about as even as two teams can get. 41-26 to 41-25. They won the same amount of games. They just played. The Lakers have played one less game than the Nuggets, so they seem to be quote unquote better than the Nuggets just by record purposes. That may not be true. The Lakers, though, are on a 4-game win streak. Their last loss was to Denver back on the 5th. They beat Indianapolis, the Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Chicago Bulls in that time. Meanwhile, the Nuggets are 3-2 in that same span. Obviously, they started things off with that win against the Lakers. Then they lost to the Knicks, lost to the Thunder before bouncing back and beating both the Rockets and the Spurs. So they're on a 2-game win streak coming in. The Lakers are on a 4-game win streak coming in. Somebody's win streak has to end, and I believe it will be the Nuggets who end that losing streak or that winning streak and have a loss when they leave Crypto.com Arena this weekend. Give me the Lakers to come out victorious in this matchup. That's moving us right along into another game in the NBA. Another two teams who are very, very close and similar to each other. The Magic, 37-28, 15-15 on the road, are taking on the Miami Heat, who are 23-11 at home. They're 38-29 on the year. The Miami Heat have a 58.7% chance to win this game, a 41.3% chance for the Magic. The Magic currently have Anthony Black, Franz Wagner, and Jonathan Isaac all out with an abdomen, ankle, and knee injuries, respectively. Alex Morales is a game-time decision with an eye injury. Now, the Heat, they have their own problems. Terry Rozier, obviously out, non-injury related. Andrew Wiggins out with a toe injury, or game-time decision with a toe injury, excuse me. Nikola Jovic is out with a back injury. Norman Powell, game-time decision with groin, and game-time decision as well. Tyler Hero with a quadricep issue. So all of those could or could not play. Both these teams are riding 5-game win streaks. The Magic coming in with wins over Dallas, Minnesota, Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Washington, while the Heat are coming in with wins over the Nets, the Hornets, the Pistons, the Wizards, and the Bucks. So somebody's win streak is coming to an end. In fact, Orlando's on a 6-game winning streak. Miami's on a 7-game winning streak. And these teams have already played 4 times this season. Orlando won 125-121 on October 22nd. They won 106-105 on December 5th, 117-108 on December 9th, and 133-124 on the 28th. 4-0 is insane inside of a series, especially against a team that is in your own state that you see all the time and have a rivalry with. They've won three of those games at home. Then they won one of them on the road at the Kasaya Center. And if you think I'm not going to take them to win again on the road at the Kasaya Center after they're already 4-0 against the team, I don't care how hard it is to beat a team two times or three times or four times in a season. They've already done it. So I'm sure they can do it a fifth time. I'm going to rock with the Magic, even though they're on the road and have had trouble on the road. One of the teams they have had success with when traveling is the Miami Heat. I'm going to take them to win yet another game on the road. Give me the Magic. We're going to move us on to our last basketball game of the weekend. Vermont is taking on UMBC in the American East Final. The winner of this game will get a guaranteed spot into the NCAA March Madness Tournament. The Catamounts, 22-11, 12-4 in the American East. Meanwhile, the Retrievers are 23-8, 14-2 in the American East. They're giving the Retrievers a 66.6% chance to win this game, a 33.4% chance for Vermont. Vermont is led by Gus Yaldin, who has 16.3 points and 5.8 rebounds per game, and Sean Blake pitches in with 3.9 assists and just 2.4 turnovers per game. On the other side, Jalakai King leads the Retrievers with 14.3 points per game. Jose Roberto Tanchin has 5.6 rebounds, and Ace Valentine leads the team with 4 assists with just 1.4 turnovers. These teams are very similar to each other. They're obviously riding win streaks coming in. Both of them have wins over these same teams, essentially. NJIT, UMass Lowell, Albany, Bryant, and New Hampshire are a mix of the five teams that they have beat within this time. This game is 11 a.m. So basically, as soon as I'm done talking, this will be on ESPN2. Literally, as soon as I'm done talking, you have a chance to view this one and see who's going to come out on top. But with the metrics that I'm seeing, and the fact that this game is at Chesapeake Employers Insurance Arena in Baltimore, Maryland, tells me that UMBC has a slight up and the crowd will probably be a little bit bigger and larger and louder for them. I'm going to take the Retrievers to grab an American East tournament championship and find themselves in the March Madness tournament with a chance to play for the big one. That's going to move us on to NCAA hockey. We're going to be in the Big Ten for most of this. First game up, the number one team in the country, the Michigan Wolverines, are taking on the number 10 team in the country with arguably the number one NHL prospect, Gavin McKenna, and the Penn State Nittany Lions. Now, earlier this year, these two teams did play, obviously multiple times as I'm pulling that up. There's been success for both of these teams throughout the year, as you can tell. One versus 10 means that these teams are good, but Michigan seems to be a little bit better. Looking back, Michigan won 7-1 the first game and then lost 2-4 in their second game against Penn State. They played them again later in the season, and they tied 4-4. Michigan won 1-0 in the shootout, and then they won 6-3. So Michigan is 3-1 against Penn State this year. The only difference this time when they play is there is no second game coming up. If you lose this one, you're moving on. You're either preparing for the NCAA tournament or you're not. This one is huge for the Big Ten semifinal. The winner will go on to play the winner of a game that I will talk about in just a moment that we'll also be picking. And if you think I'm picking against Michigan after they're 3-1 against the same team all season long and they're the number one team in the country, I might be a little bit of a homer for that. And guess what? I don't care. Give me Michigan to come out on top and come out victorious in this game as well and move on to the Big Ten final. Speaking of the Big Ten final, the other two teams on the other side, Ohio State is taking on Michigan State. This is a game where Michigan fans wish that both teams could lose. And I'm right there with you. If both of these teams could lose and Michigan could play someone else in the Big Ten championship game, that would be phenomenal. But that's not what's going to happen. Instead, one of these teams will win and move on. So looking back at how they fared against each other in the regular season, Ohio State split the first series 6-2 and 1-2. So Michigan State won 6-2 and then lost 1-2 to Ohio State. And then they played them later on. They lost 1-5 and then tied in a shootout 3-3 where they grabbed the win. So these teams are 2-2. Anyone could come out victorious in this game. Anyone could have success in this game. But I'm going to go Michigan State and err on the side of caution, which, I mean, leads up to a Michigan-Michigan State rivalry game for the Big Ten championship game. That gets us into our last pick. It's Western versus Denver, NCHC semifinal. Two teams that are very familiar with each other. Western number 4 in the country, Denver number 6. Looking back, Western has had success against Denver this year when it comes to how well they have played. Western Michigan is going to win this game and move on to the NCHC final, which gives me the Lakers, the Magic, UMBC, Michigan, Michigan State, and Western this weekend. Go into a great weekend of sports. Enjoy yourself. And we'll be back next week talking more Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.